Earth, sky.
A safety leader can be anyone, so it's not just a manager or supervisor or vice president of HSC. We expect all of our employees to have their heads in the game every single day and looking out for each other, understanding the risk, stopping jobs if they're unsure whether or not that job is being done safely. And so what I'd like to just emphasize is that we expect all of our employees to be safety leaders.
You're listening to safety engineer Mark Bird of Shell, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science with a special program in partnership with Shell. On April 20, 2010, the world learned again that oil and gas production carries risks when the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig exploded. Mr. Bird spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about the many thousands of men and women who work in oil and gas production and how they deal with risks that sometimes threaten life and property. He spoke of Shell's strategies for keeping its employees safe.
Mr. Bird, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
As the head of global health and safety with Shell, tell us, what does safety leadership mean?
Safety leadership to me means creating an enabling environment where we all believe that goal zero is possible. And we define goal zero in Shell as believing that it's possible to send every employee home safely every single day.
Tell us a little bit about your approach to managing safety at Shell. How do you go about doing this?
Yes, maybe I could just speak about a few approaches. So, you know, the first and most important approach to me is putting on my fire retardant clothing and getting out into our manufacturing sites on the ground, seeing for myself and engaging employees directly. Another approach is holding the mirror up to the site, so helping to expose blind spots in unsatisfactory situations and then providing support to the leadership at those sites to address those situations, but also having the courage to escalate issues if needed to arrest issues before they go wrong. Another approach is looking for unsafe situations and reliably intervening in a caring way, so kind of demonstrating the leadership behaviors that we want of others. Teaching others to see unsafe situations and how to intervene in an effective way. And then while it may seem harsh, sending people home who are a threat to seriously injuring or killing themselves or others. So I'm referring in Shell to what we call our life-saving rules. And so the life-saving rules are rules around some certain high-risk activities where we would rather send somebody home safely today to their families than have to talk to their family members about how they were seriously hurt or fatally injured at Shell.
Tell us about some of the important qualities that you see in someone who is a leader in the culture of safety at Shell.
Well, so first, the safety leader to me has to have genuine passion for people and their well-being. So everything that we do has to be with the individual in mind and sending them home to their families. Safety leaders present, so out in the field, understanding the work and the risk associated with that work, and then creating the conditions for that work to be carried out safely. I see a safety leader also being accessible, so when help is needed, and responsive to providing that help. A safety leader never accepts that we're good enough when it comes to safety, but is always dissatisfied if we have any injuries and drives a mindset of zero being the only acceptable answer. A safety leader has a large sense of chronic unease, always striving to uncover his blind spots. And a safety leader personally strives to have no say-do gaps. And what I mean by that is, I say I have a certain value, but you wouldn't see me behaving consistent with that value. So a good safety leader's actions are very consistent with the values that he espouses. The safety leader can be anyone, so it's not just a manager or supervisor or vice president of HSC. That we expect all of our employees to have their heads in the game every single day and looking out for each other, understanding the risk, stopping jobs if they're unsure whether or not that job is being done safely. And so, you know, what I'd like to just emphasize is that we expect all of our employees to be safety leaders.
May I expand on some of these ways you found to apply these ideas? The umbrella idea really is this goal zero. No one gets hurt, no one gets killed on the job. And maybe you could tell us more about what strategies have worked for you in keeping people and places safe.
Yeah, so maybe I could go just in a little bit of a different direction. So we've talked about personal safety up to this point, but also within my responsibility is process safety, which in our manufacturing locations is, you know, always a concern for our employees and our communities. So around process safety, maybe I could give a few examples. So taking quick and decisive action to understand and improve what we call our barriers. And our barriers are those things that, you know, stop incidents from happening or reduce potential consequences if something does go wrong. Other examples are ensuring that we have, you know, the processes and the resources in place that can assess and address our process safety risk in a systematic and reliable way. It's also learning from incidents so that we can prevent similar incidents in the future.
By process safety, you're talking about potentially big safety problems such as a fire or an explosion, and these barriers prevent these things from happening.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. And, you know, in the refining industry that I'm a part of, we handle hazardous hydrocarbons, and these hydrocarbons can be toxic in some cases or they can be explosive in other cases. And so process safety is basically first around leadership. So making this our top priority, that we don't let cost or productivity decisions overrule the right process safety decisions. We call it process safety leadership. We also have operational integrity, and that's having our entire operating organization understanding the limits of our equipment and then teaching them how to operate that equipment within those limits. It also involves technical integrity of our equipment, so, you know, actually maintaining the integrity of our equipment. So we have different mechanisms that can pose a risk to us. So, for instance, corrosion on a piece of pipe or a vessel, and so having the inspection programs to be able to detect and address those corrosion issues. It could be the safeguarding systems that we use to shut equipment down automatically if a piece of equipment gets operated outside of its operating range. We also have design integrity, and so that's making sure that we're using good, sound engineering standards to design and to construct our equipment.
Well, Mr. Burr, this is my last question. Why is safety leadership personally important to you?
Yes, I'll tell you, I'm a second-generation Shell employee and have had the opportunity to work all over Shell for more than 30 years. And when I was just a kid, I remember how my father brought Shell safety values home and taught them to me. So I can remember when I was even mowing the grass, and I was probably the only kid in the neighborhood that had safety glasses on and had gloves on and long pants and all of those types of things. And so he cared about my safety. So I've taught the same values to my family as well. And of course, having worked two generations in Shell and over 30 years myself, you know, I've also become part of a huge family here at Shell that I care for. And what keeps me awake at night is the thought of having to face a family member of a work colleague and having to explain how their loved one was seriously hurt or killed at work. So I work each and every day with my Shell family colleagues to create a safe work environment so that we can all go home safely each and every day.
You've been listening to Mark Byrd, Vice President of Health, Safety, and the Environment for Global Manufacturing at Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Byrd. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.